Blog Talk Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't hold on to 2015. It's nearly over, and you must move on to the new year. Very much like driving a car, the rearview mirror helps us to anchor those things behind us. But you can't drive a car totally looking through that mirror. It's a reference point that helps you measure the distances of events now gone. Much like that rearview mirror, you must learn from your mistakes, celebrate your victories, and move on to your future. 2015 is almost gone, and 2016 is a brand new year. On today's show, we'll look at ways where you can celebrate your great achievements of 2015. We'll also look at the New Year's Eve practice of the old, including the tradition of watch night, still very important in the black community. We'll trace the history of the New Year's song, Auld Lang Syne, and we'll determine how to put your best foot forward in 2016 so that you can better predict how to succeed, achieve, and cope with the realities of the new frontier. Happy New Year to you and your family. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I can't even believe that we're at the end of the year, and depending on when you're listening to this, maybe you're listening to it already in the new year. Certainly, if you're living in Australia and that part of the world, they've already experienced the new year. So wherever you happen to be, I hope that your holidays have been successful. I hope that you are getting a better sense of self and that you are marching into the new year with a lot of gusto, no matter what your circumstances happen to be. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And there are those who are celebrating Kwanzaa, and that will also end tomorrow. And we also say Happy Kwanzaa to those who have been in celebration of Kwanzaa. Let me just very quickly read the principles of Kwanzaa, and I hope that I won't mispronounce the names. Ujoma, which is on the 26th, represents unity, and Kuji Chakalia, is self-determination, and Ujima is collective work and responsibility. That was on December 28th. December 29th was Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Yesterday was Nia, purpose, and I actually had a very dear friend who had a Kwanzaa celebration yesterday using Nia as the theme. And Kumba is creativity, which is today for those who are celebrating, and Imani is faith. We need that, and that will be the celebration for tomorrow. So those are the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And perhaps next year we'll bring in a Kwanzaa expert. I've never really celebrated it, but I know it is celebrated throughout the country here in the United States with many, many black families and other families who participate in this secular celebration. It really just sort of fits in very well during this time of year, but it is definitely secular. Well, I hope you had a great Christmas. I enjoyed myself eating my way through the holidays. We'll definitely have to cut back quite a bit starting Monday once the holidays have ended. I had my second Portuguese dinner with my son-in-law's family. He actually was not feeling well, so my daughter, his wife, and I went over to the home of a dear friend in the Cape Verdean community. They eat Portuguese food, and it was a Portuguese colony, so that's why we use that language and that terminology, but had a wonderful and delightful time, and then went to another dear friend's house, an African-American friend, and ate her food, which just filled me up quite nicely, and we had a joyous time there as well. So I hope that each and every one of you enjoyed yourselves. That's what the holidays are for. You're supposed to kick back a little bit, just sort of give yourself permission to indulge a little bit more so, knowing that the new year you'll be able to start it fresh and bright and cheery, and you'll have a great time. Later tonight, I'm going to church like many other black people, and we'll talk about that whole watch night experience in just a few minutes. I'm actually going to repost a blog. If you're interested in seeing the blog before I get it posted again, At my website, tellcarol.com, you can go to December 31st, 2013, and that blog is posted there. I will do a little bit of updating, but we'll repost it probably tomorrow, so you'll have a chance to see the history of the Watch Night services in the Black community, very important in the Black community, and our customs and habits and cultures as well. Also, until tomorrow, we have special pricing for the March 3rd Black History Breakfast. I'm very excited about it. The lineup is absolutely incredible. Our guest speaker is Ernest Washington Jr., combat veteran from Vietnam, the Vietnam era war time. He was also a Purple Heart recipient and has been very, very active in veterans affairs throughout the years. So we hope that you will come and partake and just celebrate him, the Tuskegee Airmen in the Boston area. We have women we are honoring, such as Reverend Carlita Cotton, who is also military. Air Force is represented. The Navy is going to be represented with Mary Tewitt, who spent quite a number of years in the U.S. Navy. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful celebration of African-American military personnel, both past and present. You can go to the website, mssconnect.com, and get all the details, mssconnect.com. But this is the website that's not listed where you have to go between now and tomorrow to get $10 knocked off your prices, the ticket prices. All the ticket prices have been reduced by $10. Nice savings. And you can get your ticket between now and tomorrow. It will end tomorrow. And that web address is HTTP, which we normally start off with, 2016 ticket sale at eventbrite.com. And Eventbrite is spelled E-V-E-N-T-B-R-I-T-E. So I'll repeat that again. http://2016ticketsale.eventbrite.com. So you can go there, get your tickets, get yourself really psyched up for an outstanding, really, really wonderful breakfast. This is probably going to be the biggest one that I've had. And it's definitely going to be worth it. So let's talk about 2015, and let's look at the experiences that we've had in 2015. The whole year, the whole month of December, should I say, has been really gearing up to this moment. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the broadcasts that are all podcasted at my website at tellcarol.com under blog, and you can go back and get a sense of what we've talked about, just getting over difficult time periods and building the strategic framework that you need for next year. All of those things have been discussed since the beginning of December. We took a little break last week and talked about 8 cultural traditions of Christmas, including the Christmas tree, which really dates back to Queen Elizabeth's great-great-grandparents. That is Queen Victoria and her husband, Prince Albert. And he was German, and they had celebrated with Christmas trees in his home tradition. He brought that to their palace, and one thing led to another, and that's why we actually have a Christmas tree. So you can go back and hear that and others. That was from last week's show. So we sort of set the framework for now. And we need to probably spend the next day or two, not a long time, just sort of reflecting on everything that has happened in our lives for the last 12 months. I'm going to do the same thing, just making a chronological list of all the things that have experienced, that you've had accomplishments, successes, where you've resolved problems, difficulties, et cetera. You certainly can do this if you've journaled, and I journal every day, and that's a wonderful way to really, in more detail, look at the framework of your life. But you need to do that so that that ultimately becomes your rearview mirror, as I talked about earlier. Everyone knows that when you learn how to drive a car, you really do need to have a rearview mirror, especially if you're backing up, especially if you want to make sure that you're looking and there's not anything distressful so going in the back when you're driving a car. But you cannot, you absolutely cannot drive your car continuously looking in the rearview mirror. You will have a wreck. You will definitely have a wreck. You glance at the rearview mirror, you look at it just marginally so, before moving on to a new experience, whether you're driving a block, six blocks, or several hundred miles. So that rearview mirror for us becomes 2015. It's an opportunity for us to really look at our lives, look at things that worked, look at things that did not work, document as much as possible. I would suggest probably over the weekend that you get a folder, you get a notebook, you get something where you can chronologically keep your information and sort of get a real framework of what happened in 2015, or you can do it all on your smartphone, laptop or something electronic, your iPad or your pad device, whatever you could actually use, but some form of documentation so that you can really get a sense of what happened in 2015. Those of us who are getting older know that the years they move very, very quickly. The older you get, very quickly. So the kind of regimen that you put together is important in terms of determining what you've done, how you've done it, and then more importantly, how you can really fix yourself on what's taking place in your future. So once you have a chance to do that, that sort of helps you to get a sense of, did you have a really good year? Was it a mixed bag? Was it a terrible year? Was it a year where you could have done something different? What are those kind of components that you need to put in place just to assess and evaluate the kind of year, this rearview mirror that you have? Once you get all that established, then you can begin to undertake how you're going to structure your new year. Now, hopefully, if you started back at the beginning of December, we wanted that process to actually start for you at that point. Several months ago, probably 6 months ago for me, I knew that some things in my work life and personal life needed to be realigned, and so I started what was called the 3F Club, and that included faith. This was just a personal strategy that I was using for myself. So faith was at the top of the list, finances came next, and then fitness, because I had been diagnosed in April with having type 2 diabetes. So I knew that I had to get that under control. That was very important. And I must say successfully, as of now, I don't have to take any medication because I dropped a lot of weight, and my eating habits, by and large, not for the holidays, but by and large have been pretty regimented, where I've cut some things completely out. Breakfast is pretty standard every day, and with some variations beyond that point. But all of that really helped that kind of framework. And now what I'm doing is that I'm adding on another component in 2016. So I'm taking the same bones that I had for 2015, and I'm adding on to them. And that next F for me is going to be futuristic, which will deal with my approach to my business pipeline that I'm working on, the preparedness that I really have to address in terms of an emergency fund and expecting problems to happen, not just being so reactionary when they happen, but expecting them and then doing something about it, and then products, which include the books that will be coming out, forthcoming in 2016 and beyond, and other products as well. So I like a little bit of alliteration. So the four F's are sort of followed or include the three P's. So the faith, finance, fitness, and futuristic components are then going to be fleshed out more in detail for me over the weekend, including the pipeline, the preparedness, and the products. So that's my sort of my overall game plan that I'm working with, that I started obviously in 2015, but that will continue on in 2016. And I have a number of things that I'm going to be doing, one in particular that I'll hopefully launch this weekend. And then my goal is to really test the waters on this new initiative that is all tied in with my game plan for 2016, so that I can share it with others in 2017. So look to future programs where I'll be talking about that, especially at the end of 2015. So that's how I'm looking at things. And for me, looking at that rearview mirror, again, I just mentioned to you, I outed myself in terms of the emergency fund and expecting problems to actually happen. There are other things that, you just sort of look at things and you say, yeah, I need to do X, Y, Z, or I need to get on board with X, Y, Z, or I need to have X, Y, Z, and you put it on the back burner for the future. So what I now am going, what I've done is I've actually documented and written down three important things I have to make happen in 2016. One of them that's years old. Another one is also years old as I look at it, and the other one is probably about 2 years old. But these are things that I have to really get on and deal with in 2016. So for me, as I hope it will be for you, you probably have some things in your rearview mirror that you've put off, that you said you couldn't do for whatever reason, that you said, well, I'll handle that the next time. Whatever the excuse or the explanation happens to be, why don't you dust it off and pull it into 2016 and get it done? Now, that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at, actually, it's not just three. I'm looking at four different components as I have my 2016 plan of action sheet right in front of me as I'm talking to you. There are four components that have been sitting on my shelf for way too long that are now being dusted off and are being brought into 2016. Now, you also want to save time, not just to beat yourself up for what you haven't done, but also look at ways that you really have succeeded in 2015. So that rearview mirror can be used for that purpose as well. Mentioned to you, for me, it's successfully staying off medication to date. Excuse me, I also got caught up on all of my medical exams and colonoscopy and all the other tests that had to be taken, and thank goodness I'm in pretty good health. I'm very, very, very happy about that. So all of those were measurements of achievement and advancements and things that I needed to get done, and they did get done in 2015. Had some other very important milestones that I was able to resolve and to move forward on, and that was very, very exciting. I'm excited because I became a CITM, a Certified International Travel Manager, which was the opportunity for me to go away to a school, a recognized licensed school, and to become certified in tour management so that the tour that I'm leading back to India in February, I've already put some of those skill sets into play as I'm leading this really exciting group of men and women now going back to India for this 8-day experience, and you'll be hearing more about it in the weeks to come. But there are other trips that I'm planning on, not just for 2016, but well into 2017 and 18 as a result of going forward with a rigorous course, passing that class, doing well, and then putting those components into place. So I have those kind of successes, and I'm sure you do too. So a big part of this is not just tossing away all those achievements and saying, yeah, that's over with, but recognizing and giving yourself credit where credit is due, where you have accomplished something that is very significant in your life. So that's all a part of it. But 2016 has to have some kind of structure to it. And as I mentioned in a previous radio program, I think it's 2 weeks ago when I really broke this down and talked about the things that you have to have in place. You need to have the 12 units, the 12 chunks, 12 monthly components that are all put together to make up that full year. How are you going to fill your time every month? What are you going to do every single month to move your agenda forward? That should be your very first question. How are you going to move your agenda forward by doing things on a monthly basis? And I would imagine if you're anything like me, you probably know what you need to do. It's just, will you do it? That's the important thing. There's one thing about saying something and realizing what you have to do. So I'm looking at these four pieces of business in my life that some of them date back quite a while, and they need to be brought to the forefront in 2016. So can you make a list? It can all be on one paper page. It doesn't have to be neat and pretty. It can be handwritten. I still do a lot of things by hand because it helps me to quickly data dump and get information out before I can pretty it up, make it look better, either online or wherever, or rewritten someplace else. But what are the things that need to be dusted off and really retrofitted and brought into your scheme and your game plan for this new upcoming year? And what kind of structure can you put in place on a monthly basis, looking at the 12 units of the 12 months, so that by the time you look at next year, you have so masterfully gotten yourself in place and done things in such a superior way that it's really going to be a real successful year for you. And as I'm thinking, I'm writing down even one more thing, ages old, needs to be retrofitted, that I need to address in 2016. So now I'm up to five things that I have to do. So all of that helps us to really determine our walk in life, where we should go in life, and how 2016 can be an extraordinary year. In January, based on my church that I attend, I learned how to really craft and create a vision statement along with a mission statement. So we will talk about that in 2016 in January because it can be customized for you personally. And for me, that's been a big, big difference in my life, just having a vision statement and a mission statement that's changed very little in probably 16 to 17 years. So we'll be talking about that in January. But let me quickly just sort of, as you look at the old again in our rearview mirror, and again I'll have this on the website, is just a little look at the Watch Night services in the Black community. It dates back probably 153-plus years now, dates back to January 1st, 1863, and amidst all the cannon fire, gunshots, and burnings that were taking place at the height of the Civil War, it was Abraham Lincoln who sealed his own fate, sadly, by signing the Emancipation Proclamation. And I'll have the exact wordage here that'll be on the blog. You can go there and you'll be able to see it. But what it basically said was that technically the President of the United States could only free the slaves of the states that were in rebellion. So these were the states, all the southern states, South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas, Georgia, all those states that had left the Union. As they were recaptured, their slaves were saved and set free, including my own relatives from Georgia. So there was one of my relatives, Reverend Gaines, William Gaines, who sat at the table with General General Sherman, as they crafted out a plan in January of 1865, so what to do with the slaves who had newly been freed, and they just were wandering in some cases. So he's actually at the table with several other ministers, January of 1865, trying to craft out that plan. That's how deeply my roots go in Georgia. So those slaves were freed. Finally, obviously, by the end of the war, because of the 13th Amendment, all slaves were freed. But it's a beautiful, interesting story. But just that whole capturing of how the Emancipation Proclamation was signed because of Abraham Lincoln takes us back to December 31st, 1862, when Black people, slaves all over the United States, either went to church, they went to the campfire, they said a prayer, and they took on the Watch Night tradition. Now, the Watch Night tradition is observed in other ethnic groups, in other countries, but it was sort of embraced and captured in the Black community where you start out on your knees praying in the new year. And December of 1862, in that instance, they were praying that the President of the United States would sign, he had already signed the proclamation, he was getting ready to sign it again, but it was actually going back to around September of 1862, but it went into effect January 1st, 1863, just an enormous achievement for this war-torn country. And so we now, black people, eat black-eyed peas. We're going to eat that tomorrow. Mine are in my kitchen ready to be cooked for tomorrow's dinner. That's for good luck. We do other things like that, but definitely bringing in the new year with black-eyed peas is a black tradition. So these kind of traditions obviously are kept and they're repeated year after year after year, but it's done so that you're looking at that rearview mirror and you're not getting stuck in that rearview mirror. You are looking forward to your future, whether it is 2016 or in the case of all my slave ancestors and all the other black people during that time in 1862 and 1863, looking forward to 1863 for a better time and a better way of life. I really hope that your new year will be a wonderful one. I hope that it will bring you the joy and the satisfaction that you richly deserve. I hope that you will plan for a good year, not just hope everything will happen, where you'll have some specific things that you can put down and tabulate so that your year will in fact be a really, really wonderful one. Knowing that the things are going to happen wrong, things that are going to be surprising, but you have provided the proper framework where you can really do things on a more upscale and a more beneficial basis. We're hoping that for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about Auld Lang Syne and its history. It actually dates back to 1788 with Robert Burns, who took a well-known tune, a traditional folk tune, and put new words to it. And it was used to sort of bid farewell to the old and to say hello to the new year. And by extension, it's also sung at funerals sometimes, it's sung at graduations, and it's a farewell or ending to other occasions. And even the Boy Scouts use it as well. The International Boy Scouts movement in many countries uses it as a close to jamborees and other traditions, all dating back to Robert Burns, a Scotsman who used this great song. I'm going to play an instrumental version of this song, but just to give you a few words, the newer translation, it is, "Should auld acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, should auld acquaintance be forgot and days of Auld Lang Syne. For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne will take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne." Happy New Year to you, and I hope that 2016 will be a joyous year for you. We're going to play Auld Lang Syne right now. Happy New Year to you, and I hope that 2016 will be a joyous and blessed year for you, your family, and all those you love and are concerned about. Happy New Year to you.